Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Rays series and the Blue Jays series. The Yankees won 5 out of 6. A lot of positives to talk about. Not a whole lot of negatives, like kind of this whole season. Almost everything has been going right for this team. It's been so fun to watch. We'll talk about the things we noticed from these series and kind of just the team as a whole right now. And then across the MLB, it's going to be a lot of injury talk. There's been a lot of key players that have gone down, like Machado, Ozzy Albies, Walker Buehler, and a few more big names. So that's going to be like our MLB portion, is just going to talk about some of those big injuries and what it means for those teams. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we'll kick it off with the Rays series. They came to New York this time. So in Tampa, we played a 4-game set. We split that. Mm-hmm. And they came to New York. And what are some of the things that you noticed from this series?
So just to start this off, the Rays were coming in 9 games back behind us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of for we have a tough stretch coming up. So we face, you know, the Rays, Toronto, the Rays again, and then we're going to play the Astros. So this is kind of a tough stretch for the Yankees right now. And I figured just go 500, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You don't want to, you know, lose series. Obviously, you want to win series, but don't avoid a sweep at all costs, because that's devastating. Because the Rays were coming in 9 games back. If they sweep us, they're 6 games. That's not like that. It's not a little bit. That's why the Yankees have this cushion. That's why you feel good. But it's like, it's not the best to be swept. And now you're only 6 games up on the Rays. That's not impossible. So if you just win at least one, that would just bring the lead to just 8 games, which is still, you know, kind of hard to do. So yeah, that was kind of my expectations coming into this series. And boy, did they, you know, rise above them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and real quick, while I'm talking, Jatinder, I think your mic is your headphones and not your Yeti, if you just want to check that in Zoom. But anyway, like Jatinder said, this is kind of like the tone setter for the next stretch of games that we have coming up. And for all the people that are saying, oh, the Yankees can't beat good teams, which going into this, the Yankees already had like the best record against teams above 500. And for the Astros fans that are saying it, they've literally played, I think, like 14 or 15 games against teams over 500, and they're like 8-7. And the Yankees have played well over 20 games now against teams over 500, and they're like 15-7. Or they have a really good record.
So the Yankees are 20-8 against teams above 500, so that's 28 games, and mm-hmm. the Astros are 8-7. You can't really talk.
Yeah, and we'll prove it to them. Well, I'm hoping we prove it to them when we play them in Houston. If we can sweep them in Houston, then like that'll just be the best thing mm-hmm. ever. But it's been a really good stretch, and this series was really no different. In game one, mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole came in and last year he had a few blowups against the Astros. So far this year, the Rays. Both games he's pitched this year mm-hmm. have been good. Like mm-hmm. he gave up, yeah. I want to say like somewhere between 1 and 3 runs in his first start, but he had like 10 strikeouts and it really wasn't a bad start at all. This game, no runs, mm-hmm. 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, 5 hits, 6 innings pitched. And then of course Wandy, Clay, and Mike King, like they came in and just did their job, mm-hmm. shut them down.
Yeah.
And the Yankees.
I mean, Kluber was also matching him though. This was a tough matchup. Yeah. What I think the Rays scare me more than the Blue Jays, even with all the Rays injuries, just mm-hmm. because their pitchers are so good. You know, they're missing. You know, Baz, who just came back, they're missing Glass now. He's not coming back because of Tommy John. Their rotation is still stacked. Yeah. And that's what scares me, is that, you know, they have a really good rotation, but the Yankees won without a home run. So they that's kind of a knock on the Yankees. It's like, well, they only win with home runs. It's like,
well, and they've
no, they don't.
Yeah, also, and they're just proving that this season. I know I saw a stat that the Yankees have either the most wins or the I think it's the best record in games where they don't hit a home run out of any team in the league. Mm-hmm. They've won the most games, or they have the best record in games that they don't hit the home home run. So like, they're just proving it to be false that they need to hit home runs to win.
It seems like the Yankees on all facets are doing well, but what's really sparked their run is their pitching. How many times do we outline a series and we're saying, oh yeah, Cole is going to go, Monty is going to go, Tyone, Seve, Cortez, who's our ace right now. It's like every time we say it, we're like, okay, we have a good chance because of the guys on the hill. Yeah. So it's not our hitting. Our hitting has been awesome. It's been the best, but that's not why we're going on this amazing stretch. It's because we have pitchers that gives you a chance to win no matter what. Even if you're getting shut out, you have a chance because these guys are matching them.
Yeah, and like what the Yankees are doing right now is it's not like just a team that's hot. Like there have been the Yankees that are tied for fourth or fifth best start like ever through this amount of games. So like they're not just like a good team. They're like right now they're a historically good team, and that's because they have the best team ERA in the league. They have the most home runs, and the last time I checked, they were ninth in batting average, second or third in slugging, second in OPS, first in WRC plus. Like their offense is a top three offense, and they have the best pitching in the league. So like when you have and their defense has been good, so literally every side of the ball, they are a top team, and that's going to produce a very good record, and that's what exactly what we're seeing right now.
I don't even look at batting average that much, but
it's
Rizzo's the best 220 hitter in baseball, I think. Yeah, and like, you know, just because
everyone knows batting average is not the strong suit of this Yankees team. Like it hasn't been with the way they've been building it, but they're still top 10. Yeah. Like in the past their batting average was probably much lower than that because they would have
maybe and their situational hitting was terrible.
Yeah. And they would have maybe two people close to 300. But like it's just crazy to see how like every game, if it's like within five runs, I'm like, the Yankees can win this game. And if it's tied, I'm like, the Yankees are going to win this game. Like the Yankees are actually winning right now because it like yesterday against the Blue Jays, that's we'll get to that. And but like 9 out of 10 times, if it's a close game, I'm just like, all right, the Yankees will find a way to win this somehow. And that's kind of just what this whole Rays series was. We didn't blow them out once. We won by a total of 4 runs. Like our run differential this game was plus, this series was plus 4, but we still swept them.
Like the Yankees record in 1-run games is 14-5. The Blue Jays are also very good. You know, they had that stretch at the beginning where they were just winning every single 1-run game because Romano was saving every single game. But the Yankees in close games have a good record. And it's because of their bullpen. And once they give them a chance for the Yankees offense to do something, you know?
Yeah, this team is like, what's so good about this team is their bullpen could be like a 5-and-fly bullpen, which is kind of what certain teams have just based their teams off of. But like their starters, all of them can go 7 innings any given night. So like, it's keeping our bullpen fresh, and we don't need to rely on 4 or 5 guys being perfect every night.
It seems like Boone has given more a longer leash to our starters, and it kind of seems like it was more by necessity just because our bullpen did take a hit. So it was like, well, I don't want to get to the it's still wrong to say like you don't want the underbelly of the Yankees bullpen, because the Yankees bullpen, even their underbelly, is still really good. But, you know, they were kind of stretched thin there when they had all those injuries. We're getting back a couple guys, Loaisiga and Chapman. It seems like they're about to be activated. So that's good news. But something I wanted to just point out in this game, the Yankees scored off a IKF single. It was so Stanton scored, but he should not. And maybe this is my selective memory, but I don't remember a bad send by Luis Rojas this year. That was a bad send. If it was a throw that was online, yeah, Stanton would have been out.
And there was, there was one other one that I remember this. I don't remember who was running, but I was like, mm-hmm, like it was a good throw when he was out, and I was like, you probably shouldn't have sent him there given who was throwing the ball. But like, yeah, it's overall has been mm-hmm pretty good.
But that's still a really good thing. You know, like, yeah, it's not that many like instances that I could call back and be like, that was just a bad, like I second guess his decision.
Yeah, I will.
So that ended up working because the runner, the outfielder or Rosarena, I believe, overthrew it to home, and then Gleyber scored.
Yeah, and Gleyber's been a great heads-up base runner this year. And mm-hmm I will never forget when Judge was sent in the wildcard game last year and he was thrown out, and it was just like mm-hmm the dumbest send I've ever seen. Yeah. It's like, you can't do that in the playoffs. And Luis Rojas hasn't done anything like that this year. Like, there's been a couple that have been like mm-hmm risky sends, but like, I don't mm-hmm remember many where they were just out by a mile.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy is that I remember in the offseason, Boone was talking about his interview. He was like, yeah, he did really well on the interview. I was like, how does a third base coach really like show his intelligence?
Would you have you sent know, it's Judge like, in this clip? No.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, can you do, how many windmills can you do? Can you do like 50 without like tearing your labrum? Great interview. It's like, it's crazy. But he's been really good. He seems like he's not a good manager, but he's a great third base coach. And then kind of on the opposite end, Phil Nevin got his opportunity. He goes from third base to manager now with the Angels, which is kind of crazy.
Hopefully he'll be a better manager. But yeah, so the Yankees won game one. Game two was they ended up taking it 4-3. We had Nestor versus Shane McClanahan, which was a really good matchup. Arguably the two best pitchers in the American League this year. Nestor went 5.1, one earned run. He like didn't have his best stuff this game. He walked three people, which is uncharacteristic for him. Only struck out four. But this is what an ace does, and just battles through it and limits the damage. Only gave up one run. Went toe-to-toe with McClanahan, which McClanahan, four runs were scored when McClanahan was pitching, but only one was earned because Margot dropped a ball in the outfield with against Donaldson. That was to lead off the inning, but then with two outs, the Yankees scored three more runs. So
off a Higgy 3-run home run.
So but none of those would have scored if that was caught in theory.
But the Yankees just, you know, taking advantage of mistakes. Yep. You know, you get an extra out. That's what you have to do.
And they never did that
against
last
a really year. Good. Yeah, against a really good pitcher like McClanahan, you have to take advantage of that. You got an extra out. Higgy took advantage, you know, and that just shows that the Rays pitching is just really good.
Yeah. And at that point in the game, it was only 1-0 off of a Judge solo home run in the first inning, which was awesome. But yeah, so then Higgy makes it 4-0. And at that point, you're almost just like, the Rays offense is not good enough to surmount a comeback against this bullpen. And, I mean, we are pretty much right. Miguel Castro gave us a little scare. He gave up two runs because, I mean, Miguel Castro is almost like Chad Green at this point, where he either just shuts them down or he gets himself into trouble and gives up runs. There's, like, no in between. But he's the only one that gave up runs. Peralta was shut down for almost two innings. Litke got the final out to save further damage from Castro. He got his job done. Then Clay Holmes comes in for the save.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. I mean, Clay Holmes is just, when he comes in the game, if we're winning, I'm like, all right, might as well turn the TV off now. If I only cared about if the Yankees win or lose, I would just turn off the TV but I love watching Clay Holmes pitch, so I don't. But it's just, I mean, his pitches are like, they're just unhittable. He throws 100-mile-per-hour sinkers that break 12 inches. It literally makes no sense. But yeah, so they went.
I don't know how anyone could even hit him. Crazy stat where people can't. Yeah, you can't barrel him up. He's on now a 30. Well, I guess not in this game, but he's now on a 30-inning scoreless streak. Only time he's been scored upon is opening day. And since then, no one has done
it. And I remember opening day, they didn't even hit him hard. They just got some lucky hits through holes that scored. And, like, it's just, it's ridiculous. But then for game three, Seve was supposed to start. And then right before the game, Seve went onto the COVID IL because he had a fever. Obviously, it turns out he
didn't. Before that, though, Ryan, the Rays also had their starter go on the IL as well. Yeah. So it was supposed to be Seve versus, can't pronounce his name. What's his name? Drew Rasmussen. Yeah. So he went on the IL for hamstring injuries, I believe. So the Yankees got a lucky break. They knew they were going to do a bullpen day. Seve, day of, got COVID, or he had COVID like symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Yep. He was under the weather, got tested, ended up being negative, but he did go on the COVID IL, wasn't going to make this start.
Yeah. So Clark Schmidt, I mean, this is what is just so, like, unbelievable about this team is, like, Clark Schmidt is, like, the now the starter, but we've been saying all season Clark Schmidt should be a starter. So, like, I wasn't even worried that we had to do a bullpen game. So I was like,
yeah,
I'm not worried that Clark Schmidt, like, he can come in and give us at least three innings and just of good baseball. So,
yeah,
like, the other seven inning or six innings is like, we got to piece that together. And we called up Ryan Weber for this game. But Clark Schmidt, three innings pitched, only gave up one hit, one walk, five strikeouts, shut down the Rays. But then Ryan Weber came in, and I mean, I don't know if anyone had really any idea what to expect from this, because he's just been kind of like a journeyman, hasn't had too much time in the major leagues, but I this is how this season goes. He comes in, pitches three and two-thirds innings, gave up one run, but only one run. And it's just, of course, happens.
A home run to Mejia, who seemed, he's had a couple of balls that in this series, you know, looked like they could have been gone. He just finally got a hold of one this game and took him deep. But it was just a solo home run. We're down 1-0. You still feel good with our offense coming up. But the Rays pitching, give them credit. Like, they, I told you, they have a really good pitching staff.
Yeah.
This is a bullpen day for them as well, and they're piecing it together, you know, going 0-0, and then, you know.
Yeah, I'm never going to go into a Rays series expecting to blow them out very often. That's why the last series was so surprising. Like, the first game, we just blew them out of the water. But yeah. Weber gave up one run. Marinaccio and King came in, did their thing. And then as far as the Yankees offense, in the sixth inning, I believe it was Rizzo had a single, I believe. Yeah, Rizzo got an RBI single to tie the game up. And then nothing else really happened until the ninth inning. And Rizzo comes up again and hits the walk-off home run. And it's, like, of course, the Yankees have, I'm pretty sure the Yankees also have the most walk-off wins. They have the most of, like, feels everything. Like
it. Yeah. And that's why I say Rizzo's the best 220 hitter in baseball. You know, he's just so clutch. He's hitting home runs. He it seems like almost every situation that we need a base hit to tie it or, like, bring us close, Rizzo's there to do the job.
Yeah, and his OPS is back over 800. It dipped below for a little bit because of he had a bad May, but he seems to be rebounding nicely. So the Yankees
Judge and Rizzo both had stolen bases this game, so they're showing off the speed. So they're fast.
Yeah, Rizzo with his sixth stolen base of the year. Judge has four. But yeah, so the Yankees sweep the Rays. That's the perfect way to start this stretch. So now they're going into Toronto. Toronto looked really hot before this series. I think they cooled down a little bit. Right beforehand.
So they lost to the Orioles, I believe.
Yes, they did.
Just before the Yankees played them.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's tough, but their offense has rebounded really well from the beginning of the year. But then, I mean, the Yankees coming in the first game and just absolutely destroy them. Like, it was Monty versus Ross Stripling. It's similar to
the Rays series.
Yeah.
The first similar to the Rays series. It's, because the Rays, the Yankees came up 10 games. It's like, just prevent a sweep. You know, just even if you lose the series, prevent the sweep, because they're 10 games back at this point to start the game, to start, you know, game one. If you prevent a sweep, you're just at worst 9 games up. They clearly got the job done, though. Game one was a masterpiece. It's like, if the Blue Jays were thinking about, you know, starting their comeback and winning the division, this felt like a gut punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Monty versus Ross Stripling. So right off the bat, that's the advantage to us. Monty goes 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Both runs were off a home run, weren't they? Nope, never mind. They were not. Only one of them was off a home run. I think it was Kirk. I think Kirk hit a home run in the second inning. 6th inning.
Kirk hit a home run, yeah. I thought...
And I think the other RBI was Moreno. He had both the other RBIs this game. Okay, whatever. But yeah, Monty had a good game. Benuelos gave up another run in one and a third. Castro and Litke came in and did their jobs. But our offense this game was just relentless. We had home runs from Stanton, a grand slam from Rizzo, a 2-run home run from Gallo, which Gallo is... slowly but surely getting his numbers back up there. He's turning it around.
Yeah.
Like he's creeping up back towards the 200 mark. He's getting closer to a 700 OPS, which you expect much higher than a 700 from Gallo, but from what we've been getting, we'll take anything at this point. The Yankees go out, like, they win 12-3 this game. Higgy got,
I think everyone had a hit except for Higgy.
How did Higgy get an RBI without a hit? Sack fly, probably.
Probably got a sack fly or a ground out.
Yeah, no, he didn't have a sack fly. Yeah, IKF has 10 steals. Wow, that's more than I thought.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean. 12-3, Rizzo with the grand slam. Glaber had 2 doubles. It's it's just fun as a Yankees fan right now. And then going into game 2, we already won the first game, so now it's like, if we win one of the last 2, it's a win. Like, you take winning this series in Toronto any day of the week. If I had to pencil in a loss for this series, it would have been this one, because it was Manoa versus Tyone. Manoa has been lights out this year, especially against the Yankees.
I think coming in, he had like a 1.52 ERA or something close to that.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, the Yankees come in, they score 4 runs in 5 innings off Manoa. It's like...
Manoa's only human.
This
but the
team,
Yankees are not, you know? It just seems like they're...
This team is something else. Like, I have never seen the Yankees be this dominant. I mean, obviously, because the 98 team is the last team to have a record this good, and we were 1 year old. But, like,
You don't remember
every
that?
Day, every single game, I'm like, all right, we have a good chance at winning this game.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried unless we're getting absolutely destroyed that we have a chance to win the game. It's just
so
fun.
What's crazy, though, is that the first 2 games, if you're into betting, the Yankees were heavy underdogs. Well, not heavy, but they were underdogs. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm taking those bets every single day. So I made some money on the Yankees. But it's crazy. It's that the Yankees were underdogs in this series. Yeah. And I did not believe that they were underdogs. Yeah, just like, look at the team.
Against Manoa,
he's
sure.
been so great. He's been so great, and the Yankees were able to do. They didn't destroy him. They kind of like worked his pitch count. Was able to like get to him later, but that's exactly what you need to do against good pitchers.
I mean, 4 runs against Manoa is basically destroying him. Like, they raised his ERA from 1.5 to 2 in one game.
Yeah,
it's I mean, it's just been so fun. No, and again, no home runs. We did all of that without any home runs.
Yeah, and just also, I want to point out the Yankees, the Blue Jays' vaunted offense. You know, they're so great. You know, to start the season, and it was like they're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. They've been shut out 4 times. The Yankees have done it 3 times.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, the Yankees have just completely shut down the Blue Jays this year. They swept mm-hmm. them last time they played them in Toronto. They split the first mm-hmm. series. Like, the second series of the year that the Yankees played was against the Blue Jays, and they split a 4-game set. I think mm-hmm. it's looking like for the rest
they
of the year,
they could have won.
It might just be domination. Like, we have a better... Our worst record in the American League East is against the Orioles. We're doing the opposite. Like, you're supposed to bulk up on the Orioles, but we're bulking up on every other team.
Yeah, that's insane. That's why I feel like the Rays are our big. Well, I guess the Orioles are our biggest challengers, right? We can't. But the Rays is just that I feel like the Yankees pitchers could exploit the Blue Jays. You know, holes. We'll talk about Game 3 and then you'll be like, oh, well, the Yankees haven't figured out anything. But it seems like the Yankees are able to, you know, in a good matchup, they could get these guys out. They're not scared of their offense.
Yeah. And like in the playoffs, when you're going to use your best pitchers pretty much every game, mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. no worry that we're just going to keep it going. Oh, and by the way, the Yankees game's on right now. Rizzo just hit another home run.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, so, oh, and so the Yankees end up winning this game 4-0 off of that, the 4 runs off Manoa. Tyone, King, and Clay shut down the Blue Jays. Not mm-hmm. a single run, only 5 hits, 12 strikeouts combined mm-hmm. between the three. It's Clay Holmes has a 0.28 ERA on the season. That is unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Never, ever, ever seen anything like this. Like, even Mariano Rivera at his best was not this dominant. Mm-hmm. And that's saying the best reliever ever mm-hmm. was not as dominant as Clay Holmes is this year. And we got him for
crazy.
Very little. Like, what were the Pirates doing? He has turned in to the best reliever in baseball. What were they doing? It makes no
sense.
That's
why I'm saying the Yankees need to trade. They need to keep trading with the Pirates. Trade Andujar to the Pirates and then turn him into the next Clay Holmes.
Just keep getting relievers. Like, Matt Blake is a genius. So the Yankees win 4-0. They win the series. Their series... The Yankees...
Actually, Ryan,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I was just thinking, the only dominant stretch I could think of is another guy on the Yankees roster, Zach Britton.
Yeah.
As a reliever. Yeah.
That's the only reliever that I can think of that's even close.
Yeah.
And he had like a 0.6 ERA that season, I think. So double what Clay Holmes' ERA is right now.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I can't... I think it was in the Ray series that they said they're going to put Chapman back at closer when he's back. I don't understand that.
So I don't think he said he will for sure be the closer. He said like they'll be picking their matchups and it won't be like it'll be like kind of a committee, but Chapman will have the edge on saves.
Yeah, it's
so
ridiculous.
It depends. Like I think, I mean, I don't if Holmes comes in the ninth. I feel very good about him. Chapman, like, we need to have a safety net behind him, like, just in case. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But I guess it could work out if you're like, okay, it's the 7th inning and you need Clay Holmes in this situation. It's the 8th inning. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but, yeah.
Yeah. But it's Clay Holmes, man. And then now the Yankees series record on the season after winning this series – is 17-2-2. They've split 2-4 game sets. That is
crazy.
I can't comprehend that. They've only lost 2 series. And one was against the Orioles. And the other was against the White Sox. Like, this season just... I feel like I'm dreaming. This is like... The Yankees are obviously...
Did we mention that the Yankees record was above 750 or at 750? No, we haven't yet.
Like,
that's insane.
Obviously now we're on to game three. The Yankees should have been 50-16 after this, which I just can't. The Yankees were up 8-3, and then Miguel Castro comes in and ruins my hopes and dreams and gives up a grand slam, and then gives two of those runs to Sevy.
So Sevy wasn't even supposed to start this game because he was supposed to start Friday against the Rays, but he went on the COVID IL, didn't really have COVID. So it was supposed to be Cole. Either way, it's like pick your poison. I mean, Cole is our number five star if you look at his ERA. But, you know, so maybe the Blue Jays, you know, got unlucky. But it's crazy. It's like I would put either or in this matchup. And Sevy looked really good. You know, if you look at his final line, you're like, oh, five runs. Oof. It was because he came in one more extra inning than he needed to.
Yeah.
And Miguel Castro just didn't get the job done. You know, like Ryan said, he crushed my hopes and dreams.
It was one of those starts, Miguel. Like I said, Miguel Castro either comes in and shuts him down or he does the complete opposite. And he did the complete... If he doesn't give up a grand slam there and they get out of this inning, I don't think they hit a three-run home run the next inning and take the lead. It's just... It was a domino effect. So, I mean, they end up losing 10-9, but Rizzo came in, pinch hit, hit a home run in the eighth to make it 9-10, which, like, the Yankees definitely battled. They put them, they had first and third with two outs in the ninth inning. I mean, they were going
second against, and third because Hicks, I think, stole it.
It sucks to lose, but you can accept losses like this every now and again when you win literally 75% of your games and you've already won the series in Toronto.
We took care of business. All I wanted was to win a game. That's it. If we lost two out of three, I was okay with it because we built up such a large lead. It's just, you know, maintaining status quo, right? You just don't want to give up momentum. Like here, the Blue Jays have to feel demoralized. Even though they won this game and they could feel really good about this win, they can't come out of that series feeling really good. I wouldn't feel really good thinking I could catch the Yankees.
I mean, Blue Jays fans on Twitter were getting super excited after they won the last game because they came back. Like, they'd had a nice win. Like, that's a must win for them. Like, they cannot afford to get swept at home and go down 13 games in the standings. So, like, that was a huge win for them. But they still lost the series and lost to get another game in the standings. So... it's kind of, it's wishy-washy, but I just, it's so fun to watch. And Marinaccio came in and pitched well. Like, he's turned it around. He was, like, the first time he's up, we were like, he's not quite ready yet because he got blown up a few times. But now he's pitching pretty well in most of the games that he's in. And Glaber hit another home run this game. Higgy hit a home run. Marwin hit a home run. I said earlier, Rizzo hit a home run. Judge had an RBI double. Glaber also had a double. So, like, the offense was there. The bullpen let us down for one of the first times all year. But we still, like I said, still in the series. And right now, Glaber is hitting .267 with an .838 OPS. And is also one of the top defensive second basemen in baseball.
Like, his breakout year.
This is arguably
credit to him and the hitting coach. He's been really good this year.
This is arguably the best Glaber has ever been. Because an .838 OPS is a lot more meaningful than it was in 2019. And his defense is much better than it was then. So
I still think the worst thing to ever happen to Glaber was him hitting all those home runs because it seemed like he shifted his mentality. And he became all or nothing, yeah. And we didn't need him to be all or nothing.
And playing shortstop.
Yeah. Well, he was playing second base at that point, and he was playing really good defense at second base, which is why I thought he could play shortstop and to that experiment. But there was no guarantee. When we did our rankings for top second basemen, we had him – I think we left him off our list.
Either that or we like put him at 10 or something like that.
At the very bottom. Because it came with the asterisk. It's like, I think he's going to do better. But you can't predict it, or you can't like say it outright, because like he needs to work on some things, and he started the year miserably.
Yeah, we put him at 9.
What a run the Yankees have been! What a run the Yankees have been on, though. Historic run. I was telling Ryan, it feels like we're on March to October in MLB The Show on like the easiest level, because the Yankees just keep on winning. It seems like you just drop in, and it's like, okay, complete the sweep to set your team on fire, you know. We have great pitching performances. It's like, oh, come in and try to finish off this shutout. And it's like, it's crazy. Yeah.
And now we have another series against the Rays. It's going to be another good series, probably another low-scoring one. But we only have 3 minutes left until our time is up. So we got to kind of power through some of these injuries that we wanted to talk about. So what would you say are the big ones that have happened recently?
The big ones, I think Walker Buehler for the Dodgers going down. He's not going to come back until September, and if there's any kind of setback, he might be done for the year.
And I don't see how they'll get him back. Be stretched out all the way.
Exactly. So that's a huge loss for them. The Dodgers also have really good pitching. Like they have
their second,
you know, Tyler Anderson. They are behind the Yankees. It's still a big blow to lose Walker Buehler. So that sucks for them. Ozzie Albies for the Braves is also a big one. The Braves were on that big winning streak. I think they had 14 games before. Ironically, they lost it against the Cubs, who were going on a 10-game losing streak, if you can believe that. So,
and then Machado went down for the Padres. I don't think we know quite how severe it is yet, but it looked like a pretty bad ankle injury. And if he's out for a while, they don't have Tatis. Mm-hmm. And then Tatis also just got a setback in his. It didn't look as good as they wanted. And then Machado has been the MVP of the National League so far. So losing him is horrible.
Yeah, and they're trying to fight the Dodgers. They're trying to keep pace.
They're in first right now.
But the Dodgers are right there, and they can't afford to lose Machado. And then another third baseman that's out, disappointing, Anthony Rendon. He hasn't been very good. You know, him and Strasburg, who's also on the IL now, ironically, they both signed the same exact contract. And both probably one of the worst contracts in baseball.
Rendon's played like 55 games across 3 seasons for the Angels. It's not what you wanted when they signed that contract, but those are the big ones. Unfortunately, we're running low on time today. We had a lot of fun to talk about the Yankees, so that was the good part. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you're watching on YouTube, we'd love it if you could subscribe for the future content. Leave a comment if you enjoyed. And as always, reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. And as always, for the third time that I've said, I think, the last 30 seconds, let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees. And Rizzo, keep on hitting home runs. Let's play ball.
Nice. See you guys.
See ya.